This evening, in what will be a slightly shorter message, we're thinking a little bit, as you can see there, about what it means to grow as a Christian. I want to begin by just reading a couple of sentences from a book. Some of you may know this book, Mark Dever, who is a pastor in Washington, D.C., Nine Marks of a Healthy Church. And he says this is interesting. He says, of all the nine marks covered in this book, this is the one, he's speaking about discipleship stroke growth, he says, this is the one I first became concerned about. And then he goes on to say something which is, yes, in the American context, but we know what he's saying. He says, how many of us have seen large churches with thousands of members who never come? And hundreds of those who do attend, seeming not really to care too much about God. In any church, there will be many very nice people who have lived moral lives, but then there will be some who seem especially to love the Lord, and they will usually stick out from all the rest. They will seem different from the rest of the church. For probably 20 years or more, I have been wondering why churches are like that. What has gone on in our churches when people who really live like Christians seem unusual, even compared to other church members? That's a very interesting comment made from an experienced pastor. And he goes on to speak a little bit about the need for every professing Christian to really grow as a believer. So tonight, just in the time that we have, I want us to think a little bit about this. And whilst in many ways we might tend to think of some of the things that I will be drawing out from this passage in an individual way, remember that Peter was writing to a group of Christians. He wasn't just writing to one Christian, he was writing, if you like, to the church. So some of the things that we mention here tonight can be applied not only to us as individuals, but to us as a church, indeed whatever church you may be a member of. Because we need to be growing. Our churches need to be growing. Yes, we would love to see our churches growing numerically, but if they're not growing numerically, we certainly want them to be growing at the very least in depth. So these are important things. There's my sermon. Some of you are tempted to say, okay, yeah, you've told us our sermon now, we can sing the last hymn and we'll go home. Well, that is the sermon. We'll come back to that in a moment. You'll see the picture at the top. It says new birth. It's meant to depict life. You'll see the picture beside it, the nice heart. You know what that depicts, love. You'll see the picture of the guy doing a little bit of exercise, appropriate to have the Life Builders with us tonight, spiritual exercise. And you'll see the picture of the Bible with the cutlery set on top of it, depicting the spiritual nourishment. So that's the sermon, if you like. Let me just unpick that a little bit as we think of growth this evening. Growing as a Christian, four very simple things and quite brief things. For growth, there needs to be life. For growth, there needs to be life. 1 Peter, if you've got your Bible open, look at what it says in chapter 1 and verse 23. It says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. Now, there's a very simple principle here, that if there is to be growth physically, then there has to be life to start with. And it's exactly the same in the spiritual realm. If there is going to be spiritual growth, there has to first of all be spiritual life. And certainly according to the Bible, we are all born spiritually without that life. We are actually born dead in our sins. We need life to be put into us. And that is what the Bible describes as the new birth. God coming by his Holy Spirit and beginning to do something inside our hearts which begins to change us and to affect the way we think and the way we want to behave. It's called the new birth. In fact, if you've got your Bible, Peter refers to it right at the very beginning of 1 Peter. In verse 3, in fact, he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth." New birth. All the talk about being born again, this is simply what it's about. It's being born of God. And it's God coming and putting his life within our hearts. So for us to grow spiritually, there needs to be that life, that spiritual life. And so let me ask you, in a gentle but firm way this evening, do you know something or anything of that life, that spiritual life, that awakening that happens? Some of you know that. Some of you, many of you, can think of a time when the last place you would have been on a Sunday evening at this time was in a place like this, but something happened. What was it? Well, God began to work in your heart, and you began to think about these things. You began to think and be concerned about things that you never really thought much about in the past. God working. God, by his Holy Spirit, beginning to awaken you to the reality of spiritual things and eternal things and gospel things, putting that seed of new life in your heart. For growth, there needs to be life. Second thing I want you to notice is that for growth, there needs to be love. In this little section, which is all about growing, it's all about growing. It speaks here of the importance of love. Look at verse 22. "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart." If I was to mention the word kinkora to you, it would simply be another example of many, sadly, institutions and places in recent years throughout this land where children and young people have been ill-treated and abused in institutions. It is no wonder that in these situations where people have been exposed to situations where not only were they not given any real love, but they were actually harmed. There was a lack of love. And it has damaged many, many people psychologically and in many other ways for life. You see, if you have an environment where there is no real love, no real kindness, no real compassion, just harshness, it has a very damaging effect, and it stunts any true development and true growth. And you know, it's true in the spiritual realm that there needs to be love received and love given. And that's what it speaks about here in these verses. It says those of you who profess to love the Lord, love one another deeply. Love one another deeply. Remember the words of Jesus in John chapter 13, a new command I give you, love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And folks, this is not some airy-fairy sentimental slosh type of a thing. It's a very, very practical thing. And there can be an effort required, believe it or not, in giving love, to have genuine concern for one another, to get to know one another in a deeper way and all that sort of thing. We need to love one another. You know the little dictum, I can't remember exactly, where it speaks about when we get to glory and our concern for one another will be wonderful, but it comes back and it speaks, but life with those we know here and now, that's another story. You know that little dictum? And it can be so true. We need to make that effort to love one another. We need to pray for one another. The people who are sitting in front of you tonight, the people who are sitting behind you tonight, the people who are sitting beside you tonight, you sit beside, behind, in front of them most Sunday evenings. How often do you pray for them? We need to love one another. For growth, there needs to be love. And for a church to grow, there needs to be that genuine love, one for the other. It's really, really vital. As somebody once said, I'm sure you can understand this, you know, in the Christian church, you don't even necessarily have to, you may not even like somebody, which seemed an awful thing to say, but you need to love them. That's true. That is true. We are all very different, and we need to love one another deeply. For growth, there needs to be life, there needs to be love, there needs to be exercise. Wonder, do you remember some years ago some very disturbing pictures that came out of Romania of orphanages where little children who had been kept sitting in little cots for very, very long periods of time, it literally affected their physical well-being. They literally did not grow. It was stunted because they were not given any opportunity to exercise. It was an awful thing, absolutely dreadful. We've heard tonight from the Life Builders, and you know, we need to keep active. We need to keep spiritually active, and I don't need to say anything more about that. I certainly have been enjoying the boot camp, by the way, and I'm glad to hear it's going to continue. So, but on a much deeper level, we need to spiritually take exercise. And here in these verses, and again, I just want you to notice this. I don't want to spend too long on this tonight, but look at what it says at the beginning of chapter 2. Peter says, there's certain things that you need to get rid of, to actively discard. Spiritual exercise is not only something that we can put on, but spiritual exercise is about things that we can put off. Look what it says here. Rid yourselves of all malice. What's that? Somebody once said that there's two types of anger. There's the type of anger that somebody just explodes. Short fuse. And then there's the other kind of anger, a kind of a long, slow burn type of an anger. It's a malice. And that's what malice is. It's that kind of cold, hard, settled, brewing resentment that can creep in. I remember what he did to me 10 years ago, and I'm not going to forget it. Peter says, get rid of that. Get rid of it. Or deceit. Well, we know what it is to be deceitful. It's to mislead or to deceive people. Peter says, get rid of it. Or he speaks about hypocrisy. We know what that is. It's It's play acting. It's putting on a mask. It's pretending to be something on a Sunday evening or a Sunday morning at church in Kilkeel, and then the next morning we're a very different type of person. Peter says that's useless. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. He speaks about envy. What's envy? It's that resentment of someone, either because of who they are or what they are or what they've achieved, and there's a deep-rooted envy. We'd never admit it, of course. And Peter says, get rid of it. Get rid of it. And he speaks of slander. What's slander? Well, it's falsely speaking in a slanderous way about somebody. Folks, we could spend a long time on this, but the point is well made. If we're going to grow, there needs to be exercise. And here, we're speaking maybe about some of those things that we need to get rid of. And that's exercise as well. And the last thing that I want to mention is this, that for growth, there needs to be nourishment. We all need nourished with good food if we're going to grow up. You'll not grow up in the way that you need to just by sitting, eating a bit of lettuce every day. You need to get stuck into something a little bit more solid. And that's what Peter speaks about here. He says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, or as the authorized version has it nicely, the sincere milk of the word. The sincere milk of the word. How do you and I grow as Christians? Maybe you're a young Christian here this evening. How will you grow? Well, you'll grow by taking heed of all of these other things, but you'll grow by taking heed of what the Word of God actually says. That's why we encourage people to have a time of quiet each day to open the Bible or to open your app that has the Bible on it. And to actually get stuck into it, and to not only read it, but to meditate upon it, and to really prayerfully consider it. And folk, can I encourage you as I did one other week? Yes, we can get encouragement from a little verse here and from a little verse there, but we need to dig a little bit deeper into the Word of God, I believe. Some of us are maybe getting through on chunks of little bread and lettuce. Spiritually speaking, when we actually need to get stuck into a little bit of spiritual steak and take a passage and get a little book and spend 10 minutes each day at studying and thinking about it. Can I strongly encourage and urge you to do that? Because if you don't, actually you will not grow. You'll not grow deeply on some little precious nugget. Every day, you need to dig into the Word of God. And my experience is that when you take time to dig a little bit into the Word of God, that you do discover some wonderful, wonderful things that are a real blessing and a tonic to you. But it doesn't come without a little bit of effort. And so that's why we encourage people to attend to the preaching of the Word of God on a regular basis. That's why we encourage people to attend to reading and meditating and studying the Bible on a regular basis. Not in a legalistic way, but because we want to grow. The time has gone. But tonight, as you look at those pictures, which one challenges you the most? Tonight, in these last moments of this message, which picture is God the Holy Spirit taking and saying, that's the one you need to think about here? It maybe is the new birth. It maybe is the one new life, because you need that new life and you need to cry unto God to come and to give you that new life. Maybe it's the love. Maybe there is something in your heart. And you're holding something against somebody else. Or you need to deeply love someone else in the fellowship. Maybe there's been an issue. You need to go and get it sorted out. spiritual exercise. It is. It takes a bit of an effort sometimes to put these things away or to take other things on board. It's not going to come just a zap out of the sky. It takes a bit of effort. Maybe God's saying you need to make that a bit of an effort. Maybe God's saying you need to sit down with the Word of God and seriously begin to read it and think about it and prayerfully study it. There are a whole host of wonderful resources out there to help each of us read the Bible. I understand, as a pastor and a minister, what it is at various times in life that we all go through dry patches and we struggle with the reading of the Word of God. It has happened in my life. But my experience has been that as I have come back to God and I've said, Lord, make this live again, that God has answered that prayer and it has become a blessing again. So folks, typical Presbyterian minister, my short sermon didn't really end up being too short after all. But that's the message. Growing as a Christian, growing as a church, life, love, spiritual exercise, and feeding on the Word of God. A short prayer, and then we sing, and then we're finished. Lord, we pray tonight that you would help us to grow as individuals. And we pray, Lord, that if there's things in our lives that you have pointed to through this message, Lord, help us to act on that and not just to ignore it. Lord, we pray that you would help us as a church to grow. Lord, we want to grow, yes, in numbers. We want to see others coming to know the Lord Jesus. But Lord, we want also to grow in depth. Lord, help us to grow in many, many different ways. Bless your word to our hearts. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.